One of the big issues that comes up for everybody is, well, how do I pray? What is the correct way to pray? There is no correct way to pray. There are probably as many ways to pray as there are people on the planet. It's so important to realize that it's just a conversation. A conversation you'd have with your neighbor, with a friend, with a parent. There's no right words. There's no right forms. Oh, sure, you can go and you can study meditation with a meditation teacher, and those are valuable. But I believe more than any correctness of form, it's the rightness of spirit. It's the sincerity and purity of intention. Let me illustrate that with a story. One night while babysitting, a grandfather passed his granddaughter's room and overheard her repeating the alphabet in an oddly reverent fashion. "What on earth are you up to?" he asked. "I'm saying my prayers," explained the little girl. "But I can't think of exactly the right words tonight, so I'm just saying all the letters. God will put them together for me, because he knows what I'm thinking." That innocence and that purity that that child represents in that story is what you need to have. Don't be in fear and don't be in doubt. Just sincerely be talking to someone that you know cares about you and is willing to respond. All you have to do is take the time and energy to open up your heart and share your feelings and share your desires and share your hopes and fears with God. And however you do it, you will unleash the process by which prayers get answered.
It's like the school teacher in second grade who comes up to the little girl and says, "Sally, whatever are you drawing?" Sally says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Teacher says, "Sally, that's noble and interesting, but nobody knows what God looks like." Sally says, "Don't rush me. I'm not done yet." Pray for something and then let it go. David Spangler tells a story about Andrew Glazewski, when giving a talk in Addington, mentioned the laws of manifestation and made an interesting statement. "If you keep on praying for a thing, you put into operation the reverse laws." I did not understand what he meant. He said, "It's quite simple. If you keep praying for a thing, it shows you have not got the faith. You need to only ask once and then go ahead in faith." What it looks like to me is this. When you plant a seed, the seed has the intrinsic wisdom to pull out of the soil the moisture, the nutrition, and the sunlight to start stimulating that photosynthesis. You only got to plant that seed once. If you plant the seed and then pull it up and put it down and pull it up, pretty soon you rip the roots off and it doesn't grow. That's what it means to me. And it's sort of like what Sophocles says, "Heaven never helps the man or woman who will not act." If you don't act, you don't get. If you don't ask, you don't get.
In my seminars, I often will hold up a $100 bill and I'll say, "Who of you out there in the audience would like this $100 bill? If it were available, and it is, who would want it?" Almost every hand in the audience goes up. And I just stand there. I don't move. I don't give it to anybody. Unless somebody eventually gets out of the audience and comes up and takes the $100 bill. Now, I've stood there as long as 2 or 3 minutes, nobody moving. And then ultimately, someone will get up, and sometimes other people will see that, and 2 or 3 people will rush me. But the first person there gets the $100 bill. And what I say to people is this: prayer is important. Visualization is important. Asking for what you want is important. But at some point, you have to start taking action. You can't just visualize, hope, and dream, and wish, and pray, and meditate. Once you've prayed and meditated, you've got to get up and start to go do those things that produce the results you want. That is such a powerful, powerful lesson. I hope you'll keep that image in your mind. All the rest of the people are sitting there, not moving, not getting it. One person walks away with a $100 bill. One of the most unusual requests that we ever heard about, and we included in one of our Chicken Soup for the Soul books, was when a 70-year-old woman called her local preacher and said, "Preacher, I just got information from the hospital that I've got cancer. It's terminal. I'm going to die really soon, and I'd like you to come over, and I'd like to talk about my funeral and my burial." And the preacher started by saying, "Oh, look, you know, maybe there's something we can do. We can pray for your health." She says, No. "You misunderstand. I've lived a long life. I'm very happy. Many, many things have happened to me. I've had all the experiences I want to have. I just need to prepare for my death. Would you come over and work with me?" He said, "Absolutely. I'll be there around 3 o'clock. So he drove over around 3 and went into her house, and they sat down, and she offered him some tea, and they started talking, and she said, you know, I told you I've lived a long life. I'm very happy. It's been a good life, but I'd like a few things done. When I have my funeral, there's some passages I'd like you to read, some scripture passages that have been my favorite. And there are a few hymns that have had special meaning for me, and I'd like you to have the choir sing those. And then there's one more request. When they put me in the coffin, I'd like you to instruct the people at the funeral home to have my Bible in my left hand and a fork in my right hand. And he thought, that's a strange request. I mean, I understand the Bible. She wants to let him know the Bible was an important book in her life, but the fork. He said, I understand the Bible, but what's the fork for? She said, you know, preacher, every time they have one of those wonderful dinners over at the church in the basement there, whenever there's a regular dessert, you know, they just come by and you get Jell-O or ice cream or something, and all you need is your spoon, so they just take your fork when they take your plate. But whenever they come and you start to give them your plate and everything, and they say, wait, keep your fork, then you know there's really one of those great desserts coming, like peach cobbler or apple pie. And that's kind of exciting. Wow, we're going to get a really good dessert. The best is yet to come. And that's when you come in, preacher. When they're filing past my coffin and they're looking down there and they see the Bible and they see the fork, they're going to say, what's the fork for? And I want you to look at them and I want you to say, you know, she knew the best was yet to come. Now, I believe the best is yet to come for all of you. You've been listening to this program. You've heard all of these wonderful techniques. We've tried to inspire you with stories so you'll use those techniques if other people have used them and had success in their life. It's now up to you. The best is yet to come, but it's up to you to put these things into practice to assure that your future is everything you want it to be.